by his death. By the shedding of his blood, by him dying on the cross, he bought peace for all. For this we praise God. This morning, we've already looked at him being the author of peace last week. This morning we're going to look at him being the arbitrator of peace and the authenticator of peace. So Jesus is the author of peace, he's the arbitrator of peace, and he is the authenticator of peace. This is just to keep alliteration going. Now, the arbitrator of peace. And we read in Scripture, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Prince of Peace. You'll notice at the beginning of the reading, it said, for us, to us, a child is born, to us a son is given. Who's the us? And the us would be the people of Israel. But keep in mind, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, not just for the people of Israel, but for the whole world, to those who put their trust in him completely. In his epistle to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul had a remarkable interpretation of this aspect of truth concerning Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Paul is exhorting his believers to forbear and forgive one another. Now, that's a wonderful message for you and for me as believers in Jesus, that we are to forbear one another and we are to forgive one another. Paul is exhorting his believers to do the believers to do that, and we read these words, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, this is open to all of us as believers. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and in mine heart, my heart. The word rule is an interesting word. It means control. When you think of a ruler is in control of something. A further extension of this word rule or control would be also arbitrate. Now, we don't hear too much of an arbitrator these days, except when an employer and the union are trying to get together and they can't get their act together to decide on what's going to happen, then somewhere along the line, an arbitrator is appointed. And that person really goes into that situation trying to bring both sides together and ending up ruling, and what the arbitrator says goes. Both sides agree to the arbitrator, and then when he or she makes the statement, then that's what occurs. That's what Jesus is. He is the arbitrator of truth for you and for me. Whenever Jesus is welcomed and honored, whenever Jesus is welcomed and honored, peace rules, arbitrates in your life and in mine. For he himself is our peace. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace. Now let me ask you, do you have an unpeaceful day? Is it unpeaceful for you today? Was it unpeaceful for you sometime during the past week? And what about the week that's coming? Do you think there's going to be a lack of peace or a lot of peace for you as an individual? For he himself, Jesus, is our peace. So when you and I rely upon him in our minds and in our hearts, then he's the one that provides the peace that you and I require. When Jesus, the Prince of Peace, rules in our lives personally or in the life of the body of believers called the church, peace reigns. This world needs peace. Sometimes our families need peace. Sometimes a congregation needs peace. There are times when we need peace. The world certainly needs peace now. I think of Ukraine, I think of Russia, I think of Israel and Lebanon and Gaza and all those areas around. If peace is ever needed, it is needed now. I'm glad I'm not the prime minister of any country, let alone the prime minister of Israel. Can you imagine what's going through his mind and their cabinet's mind in terms of deciding what action they should take? They know what they need to do, and the whole world is saying, no, don't do that. Can you imagine being in that position of leadership? Oh, how wonderful it would be when Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, is here, and he is the ruler of this world. And then you and I will not have to worry about what's going to happen, because Jesus will determine all that is going to happen. He is the arbitrator of peace. Now, peace includes everything in your life and in mine. It includes our life, our personal life as Christians, and it includes our general life as we're part of a community of believers called the church. The scripture tells us, in the personal life of a Christian, we are to let the word of Christ rule or arbitrate in our hearts. This is the Holy Spirit preaching through Paul, teaching through Paul, and telling us today. Some time ago, we learned how important it is for us, and we can't do it on our own, we have to rely upon God's Holy Spirit within us, for us to live a pure and holy life. Now, the truth of the matter is, we try as hard as we might, and we know it's not as holy or as pure as it ought to be. However, this we have learned. We have four influences in our life. One is the blood of Jesus. Two is the word of God. Three is the work of the Holy Spirit. And number four is the blessed hope. Now, the blood of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, and there are congregations today, Christian congregations, who never mention the blood of Jesus. Somehow they think that the shedding of Christ's blood is wrong to say. It's not good. But the shedding of Jesus' blood is absolutely vital for you and for me to know. And because it's his blood that was shed that covers over your sin and mine. So this is what helps give you and me the kind of peace that we need. And not only peace, but also the ability to live a holy and pure life. And then there is the word of God. We, as Christians, we should always be in the Word of God. We should start the day with being in the Word of God. It may only be a verse or two, but whatever it is, and if you are inclined to memorize Scripture, I would highly recommend that you do so. Take one verse at a time and try and get it firmly fixed in your mind, because it's interesting that the Word of God, when it comes into our mind, it comes into our conscious, and then it gets into our subconscious. And when it gets into our subconscious, that's what the Bible refers to as the heart of the matter, gets into our subconscious, and then it helps control us all day long. So there is the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the moment that any individual finally turns to Christ and accepts him as their Savior and Lord, puts all their trust in him, then the Holy Spirit comes to live within that person. Praise be to God. So if you have given your life to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is alive, active, and well, and working within you this morning. And not only on Sunday morning when we gather to meet, but also he works within us day by day, hour by hour, and moment by moment. So it's important for you and me to keep this in mind. We are not alone. Jesus is with us and with us always. And then there is the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? Well, the blessed hope covers a number of areas, including the blessed hope is Jesus, but also the blessed hope is that we know we will be spending all of our eternity with him. That's the blessed hope that we have. Unbelievers don't have this kind of hope. They don't have anywhere to turn. Some turn, they know they need to turn, but they turn to the wrong sources. What we need to do is to turn to the Word of God, rely on the Holy Spirit of God working within us, each and every one of us. When Jesus reigns with undisputed authority, the Spirit of God and the Word of God extend the peace of God to you and to me. So hold on to that thought, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is our peace living within us. And this positively affects the personal life of the Christian and the general life of the church. Scripture says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, we were called to peace and be thankful. Did you notice those words? Since as members of one body, we are called to peace and we are to be thankful. The ruling or arbitrating peace of Christ is not only to affect us as individual believers, but it also must affect us as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the head. The pastors or the Sunday school superintendents or deacons are not the head. Jesus is the head of the church, and Jesus is our peace. Now, frankly, I do not like conflict of any nature. I do not like disagreements. I don't like disagreements in a family or in a community or certainly in a congregation. The scripture says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's Ephesians 4:3. We are to make every effort. I was always so impressed with the beatitude that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. The word daughters isn't used, but you know that's what it means. Blessed are the peacemakers. So we are on this earth, in our family, in our church family, we are here to be peacemakers. We're not to try and stir things up. We're not to try and cause difficulty among the group. What we are here to do is to reach out, and we are to be peacemakers. I'm so thankful that there are peacemakers in our congregation, peacemakers who reach out not only to their family and their church family, but also wherever they are exerting an influence. They are presenting Christ to that group of people. They become a peacemaker. It's a matter of people, instead of saying, I want things done my way, to look at it and say, really what we want to do is to do things Jesus' way. And there's a good statement, you've heard it before so often, what would Jesus do? That's a question we often need to ask. What would Jesus do in that situation? How would Jesus handle this particular action, whatever it is that's going on? That's a question which we can ask. And the Holy Spirit works with us in such a profound way that when we ask the question, the answer is going to be there. The answer is going to be there. And a little word of encouragement. I read a story recently of a boy who attended church, and he couldn't understand the words of what the preacher was talking about. He wondered as he grew older why the preacher was preaching from a big black book. In those days it was a black book. And why he was preaching from a black book, and what were all the words he was saying. And then he sort of forgot them, and when he left home he didn't go to church, but then he joined the army. And when he joined the army, he was away in war, and his buddies were being killed all around him, and people were being injured. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, would you believe that the very words that the pastor was preaching many years ago to the congregation and to this boy, who thought he wasn't listening to anything, heard the word. And when he heard the word, he turned his life to Christ. Years between the time that he heard the word of God and finally acted upon the word of God. And he didn't even know that these thoughts were in his head. But then the Holy Spirit brought them to mind. So for you and for me, when our children, our grandchildren are involved in church, let's praise God that they are hearing the word of God. And that word of God, the scripture says, will not return to the Lord void or empty. The word of God is in a person's mind and heart and will be there forever. And we need to pray that God's Spirit will bring those words to remembrance at the precise time that it needs to be brought forward. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus is the author of peace. He is the arbitrator of peace. And he is the authenticator of peace. That's a big word, authenticator. But now let's take a look at what Scripture says. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Because the word of the Lord says so, it is absolutely possible for both individual believers and a collection of believers called the church to let peace reign in their hearts, to allow Jesus to reign. Jesus is that Prince of Peace, and he will reign in your heart and in mine. However, there is more to come. Yes, Jesus is ruling in our hearts now, but there's a time coming when his rule is going to be so evident on this earth that the entire earth will take notice and they will be bowing down and worshiping him, the Prince of Peace. If we could have the next slide, please. Jesus authenticates peace in two ways. Authenticates peace in two ways. In the millennial age and the eternal age. Now, we might ask ourselves, well, just what does that mean? Next slide, please. Presently, we are in the church age. There are two ages to come. There's the millennial age and the eternal age. The next slide. The church age began in Pentecost, and it's going to carry on until the time of the rapture. We are still in the church age. The church age has not ended. Jesus said, I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. We are in this very precious church age. The church age, though, is going to come to an end. And how is it going to come to an end? You've heard me speak about this so often before. There will be the rapture of the church. And at the end of the church age, whenever that is, and I believe it could well be with the next few months or years, that the rapture occurs and the church leaves, the church age is over, and then we begin the next slide, please. We have the time of the rapture, and then all those who are not believers will be left behind on earth to go through a horrible tribulation period. I don't want to get into all the details of the tribulation period. We've been talking about that in the past, but it is going to come. And this is for unbelievers, and they're here on earth during that time. Then at the end of that 7 years, then begins the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Jesus as the Prince of Peace. He will authenticate the peace that he has provided. I keep trying to think about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. And I was thinking just the other morning, just think about it. We will be in the presence of Jesus. We will not be in the presence of temptation of any kind. For some reason, it's all because of Jesus, but we will not be tempted anymore. Can you imagine? Now you are tempted, and I am tempted. This we know. We are yield not to temptation. We know that Jesus never yielded to any temptation. We are going to be like he is, and we are going to be living a life where we will not even be tempted, not in the presence of sin. This is absolutely incredible. So we will ultimately feel the absolute peace of Jesus. We will experience it through the millennial age. The next slide, please. Then there is the eternal age. Now, just to set the order of events in sequence, there's the rapture, the tribulation, the 1,000-year reign by Jesus, and that is followed by a temporary setback. It's a temporary setback at the end of 1,000 years because Satan, who has been bound for 1,000 years, and the false prophet and the world dictator, the Antichrist, they've been imprisoned during that time, and at the end, for reasons known only to God himself, he is going to allow the devil to get out of his imprisonment, his being in chain, and to do his dirty work among the people to determine then how many people truly put their faith in trust in Jesus. And then they will be cast into everlasting darkness. And then the scripture tells us in 2 Peter that there's going to be a great cataclysmic event. Even the elements are going to be melted at that time. So then will come a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and that is the eternal age. And you and I will be involved in that eternal age, living with Jesus. So Jesus gives us peace here on earth in the church age. We are going to be present with him during the millennial age. Excuse me. During the millennial age, we will be experiencing his peace, and then we will have his peace all through eternity. However long that is, we're going to have that peace. Now, here's the conclusion. Jesus is our Savior. Praise be to God. Jesus is our friend. Praise be to God. He is the author, the arbitrator, the authenticator of our peace. And yes, he's coming back again to this earth, and we are going to be with him. I'm going to have to turn this off for a minute and cough. Excuse me. Advent means the arrival of a notable person. We've looked last week at the first week of Advent. It's commemorating the arrival of the most notable person in all the world, in all the earth, in all of eternity, namely Jesus. And we are recognizing that he came as a babe. And at Christmas time, we'll remember that he came as a baby. But then we also know that he's coming back. And he's coming back to rule as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And before we sing our final hymn, I'd like to leave you with these words. The Son of God became the Son of Man in order that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Amen.